Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Thursday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. The most inspirational Lakers win of the season, and we are here to celebrate it with John Nichols. You know him as LeJethro Jenkins from Out of Pocket on Wave TV, and Jenkins and Jones, the podcast. It's all next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how or where you get your podcasts, always free, never behind a paywall. If you can make another Locked On podcast your second listen of every day, we'd appreciate it. But if you don't, and even if, you know, how about Jenkins and Jones, the great podcast hosted by our friend John Nichols, you know him as LeJethro Jenkins, and Dragonfly Jones. It's Tyler's. Everybody has like you guys are hiding from the law or something. Like you got your names.
Really regular names. Mike too. Mike Guadabasio, the homie, man. Let's not forget Mike.
Also, he's the co-host of Out of Pocket on Wave TV. Thanks for coming on, man. We really appreciate it. We love having the opportunity to talk to you, especially on a night like tonight where the Lakers, no LeBron, no AD, no Lonnie Walker. They shock the world and beat the Miami Heat.
How unlikely was that? How unlikely was that? You know what I'm saying? Like, I thought they didn't have a chance. You feel me? Like, it was fun. I was saying being that LeBron and AD weren't playing, I was like, you know, this might not have been the funnest game to watch. We were actually talking about that, but it ended up being really fun. So great game, man. It's good to see Westbrook too doing his thing.
Well, it's not just like the idea that it was unlikely that they were playing, you know, Miami at full strength. While they were shorthanded, they kept getting more shorthanded as the game went along. Like, you knew you weren't going to have Anthony Davis, and Lonnie Walker's still dealing with that bruised tailbone. But then LeBron ends up kind of a late minute scratch. He's dealing, they said common cold. It's not COVID. We can get into later what people were throwing around as conspiracy theories in terms of this absence. But then second half of the game, no Troy Brown, leaves the game with a strained quad. Almost no Dennis Schroeder, who had a nasty ankle turn. Like, he basically turned his ankle sideways. It was stepping on someone's foot. It was ugly. Managed to stay in the game. Had his best game of the season. 32 points. 14 trips to the line. Made 12 of them. But, like, it wasn't even just the idea that they were shorthanded. You're like, is everyone just going to get through this, like, in one piece? You mentioned, too, Russ having that big game, John. And just seeing him, like, look more like Russ.
Yeah, we haven't seen, like, Russ be put in this situation since when? Like, I don't know. I wouldn't say OKC. Maybe Houston. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I mean, the being a Lakers fan this year, like, it's been difficult, right? You know what I'm saying? But
he's at least one you had last reasons. Year.
Right. right. but at least and like little things like that, like, you know what I'm saying, seeing Russ, you know, figure it out, you know what I'm saying, like that's been fun to watch. So, you know, seeing him have like turn it around, end up having a solid game, seeing Schroeder, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, step up and hit like those big free throws. I think he had 14 in the fourth, you know what I'm saying, like that's fun. So you gotta. Yeah, I mean, you got to maybe get kind of granular and find like little things to enjoy. But it's been dope. Even watching Bron, you know, just watching Bron at his age do what he's been doing, it's been fun. I mean, I wish it came with more W's. You know, I wish Pelinka would try to figure out how to get them some help. You know what I mean? But there's a couple of things to rejoice about.
We'll get to those things in a second here, but I want to ask you because there's the NBA guy watching Russell Westbrook experience of watching Russell Westbrook. And then there's the Laker fan deeply invested in the results of the game and the progress of the team experience of watching Russell Westbrook. So what has this been like for you, who kind of does both?
Yeah, like for sure. Like Russ isn't the best fit for this team, point blank. You know what I'm saying? We all know this, right? You know what I mean?
It's a controversial statement right there, John.
Palinka has it. I don't want to say Russ is trash or you know he's. I like Russ as a player. I just don't like him on the Lakers. And so it's been cool to see him kind of turn it around. They found a place where he could be successful, but I think with what we're paying him, obviously, and what we could potentially get with them, if they throw in those extra trades, like I'd much rather, you know what I'm saying, see him on a different team, you know. But so it's been difficult. Like it's obviously been frustrating, but I still like him as a person and as a player and want him to be successful.
There's just no middle ground. I think that's part of the problem. Like in the first half of Wednesday was a perfect example of that. Like he's dropping dimes on this, you know, like making great assists, like, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, has three or four turnovers at the end of the first half that are like, he's just throwing the ball to the other team. Like the good plays are so much fun. Like you had that little crossover, I forget who it was on skates and all, mm-hmm. and then just make some of the most mind-bogglingly awful plays. I wish there was some stuff in the middle just to keep your blood pressure even. It would be easier to watch him, even if the end result was the same.
That's been Russ's game since Houston, though, has it not? You know, since Houston, that's the Russ we've seen where, like, it's like, oh, wow, you know, these mind-blowing moments, you know, where he seems like, you know, the Russ in OKC. And then it's just like, does this guy know how to play basketball?
Well, you know,
it's odd.
It's funny, man. Like I remember a few weeks ago, Brian and I were talking about this with Russ, and I said, I don't think he's a really smart player. And like, I want to make it clear. I think he's a smart person. Like he's a smart human being. And like, obviously his understanding of basketball is better than the three of us combined will ever be. But that being said, though, he is somebody that I think has, like, he's never had to be that smart of a player because for so long, his athleticism was so incredible. And he obviously sees the floor well. Like, you wouldn't be able to stop him whether he's playing smart or not. And as he's gotten older and that athleticism has been in relative decline, he's not one of those guys that, like, has made up for it by becoming more cerebral. Like he's still just a hard charging dude. That's just the way he plays. He's not a guy that goes out there looking to outthink you.
Also, the thing is too, like the place he plays from, it's like as a hooper, you're like, I want to bust this dude's tail. You know what I mean? Like this dude has no business. And it comes from a place, he plays from a place of ego. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not like, it doesn't always make the best basketball decision. Is more like, I want to cook this dude. You know what I mean? I can blow by this guy. And he's always been able to do that. And I think we all kind of knew once Russ, based on the Russ that we've seen and the decisions he would make with the at times, we knew like once that athleticism started to go, it would be tough to watch. And last year was heartbreaking. You know what I mean? This year, I think he's kind of figured out a little something. And like he has those moments, but The stretch he had last year, which his numbers were better if you look at them, but it didn't feel like it. You know what I mean? It didn't feel like it at all. So, I was thinking last year, I was like, is he going to have a place in the league after this contract?
We talked about that a lot.
I don't feel that way now. You know what I mean?
Let's talk about that because there is part of the reason there is that skepticism is I don't think there's anybody in the league, maybe not on the level of Kobe, on the level of Jordan, who is more dedicated to the ethos of how he plays than Russell Westbrook. And so I'm curious what you think, what it does look like going forward, like how this translates to permanent sixth man. Is this the role he plays? We'll talk about that. Talk about LeBron. We'll talk about whether or not Rob Pelinka can get these guys some help next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by LinkedIn. As a small business owner or hiring manager, success in 2023 all depends on your team members. And that's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. With LinkedIn Jobs, you can hire qualified candidates more efficiently by using targeting tools to match open roles with people who have the skills, value, and experience to help achieve your goals. LinkedIn goes beyond resume data by using insights from your job post, your company, and their 875 million profiles to land the most qualified candidates. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to screen and rate applicants all in one platform. And that's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. You want to set a tone for 2023 fiscal success now, right from the jump, which makes this a critical time for you. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the most qualified candidates that you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonmba. That's linkedin.com/lockedonmba to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
So, John, part of the reason I think the debate around Westbrook was so interesting in terms of, like, because everybody's looking at this, he's just got to change how it is. Of course, he's going to have to come off the bench because otherwise nobody's going to want to put him on their team, or he's going to have to make these kinds of adjustments. But when you've done it like Russ has for so long, and that way he plays is what's defined him. He's, you know, like you said, enormous ego attached to it because that's how he got where he is. Do you think this is a one-year thing, or do you think wherever he goes next year, or even I guess it could stay in LA, it's not totally impossible. Is this what he is going forward? Is he a sixth man on the next team he goes to, something like this?
It depends on the team. Like, I think it's easier for him to be the sixth man when, like, Bron and AD are talking to him. These are dudes he respects. You know what I mean? These are, like, God-tier players. And, you know, hey, it worked. And also, I think he respects Darvin. You know what I'm saying? It's who's the coach. I mean, he respects, you know, his coach. So it depends on where it goes. But I do think – I don't see him – as a starting point guard, I don't see him being as a starter in this league, unless it's like a very bad basketball team, you know.
For a bad basketball team anyway. Like, if you've got a young developing team, why are you going to bring in Russell Westbrook? You probably have a young point guard you're looking to develop anyway. I also think, because he's been more successful this year than last year, there's like a good narrative around him, like in terms of him being willing to make this sacrifice. You know, he's I think the Lakers need to win more games for this to actually happen, but he's currently, like, at Bet Online, he's currently the odds favorite for sixth man of the year. And that will turn into a great story. But I think a lot of teams around the league, if they talk to him this upcoming free agency, they're going to tell him, we're looking for you for a bench role. I think that's just going to be what's put out there on the table for him moving forward. And it becomes a take it or leave it. Because even if he ends up starting for you later, I think you want to start from that place of, this is your role. You cool with it or not?
We're looking for this year's Russ. We're not looking for last year's. You know what I mean? And we don't expect you to be the years prior then. You know what I mean? And so I think that's probably how they're going to approach it. And I just, it depends on the team how well it's going to go, you know, how much he respects the players and, you know, and the coach. But I think this is the only team after the year he had last year where that's probably extremely humbling. As confident as he is, I don't think any man, you know, like, where you're at home, the city you grew up in, and they're booing you when you take wide open shots. I don't care who you are. You know, that's rough. You know, you know what I'm saying? So I think after being humbled last year and then playing at home with Bron, with AD, you know, Darvin, a person he respects, I think it made it easier. But, I mean, we'll see what happens. Regardless, I hope he figures it out. I like Russ.
What do either one of you guys know? And I should probably, because, you know, 5 days a week we're talking about the Lakers. You know, it never really occurred to me that this could ever be a thing. So I don't think I looked it up. Obviously, the Lakers, to create the cap space they want to have this summer, assuming they don't make a trade, have to renounce the cap hold, the 40, whatever it is, $50 million Russell Westbrook cap hold. But assuming, like, seven, are there mechanics where,
consider it renounced?
But, like, once that happens, Let's say he finishes through this year. He's the reigning sixth man of the year. He wins the award. Like, are there mechanics where he comes back? Like, does that make any sense at all going forward?
No. I mean, I think it's just that simple. We've seen it.
I agree with you. Straight,
And it hasn't made any sense. I don't think we need to see it for a third year.
Especially too, like if, I mean, I realize that with the cap, I mean, I would think with the way the cap works, like it might, there might be more wiggle room to bring him back while right, still
you renounce him, but you can bring him back with an exception right. or something. I'm not even so much thinking about the rules literally, but like, let's just say it was doable. Well, like even if it was doable, does it still make sense?
It's still not ideal to have a guy that you would want to play as much as Russ would be as a sixth man that is a bad fit with your best player.
With that in mind, I think you're both exactly right. He has definitely changed, I think, the perception of him. This is an important step he's taken. It's still going to be hard for him to find a home next year. Because what you're talking about, Andy, applies to a lot of teams, and John, you as well. Like, it's amazing. Like, this story could go the way it is, and, you know, the redemption thing, and he wins sixth man of the year, and he's still hanging out next year looking for a place to go deep into the summer. Like, that is a very realistic possibility.
We knew it was going to be quick with Russ, though. We knew. We knew when it left, it was going to go take a hard left, you know, because he relied on his athleticism so much. And, you know, he was a guy that if he didn't like something in his way, he could move it. You know what I mean? You know, he's so explosive to go by it, jump over it. It never mattered. What I've noticed most is like I didn't think about this when his legs went, how high he jumps on his jump, when it was jump shot, how much that affects that. When it's just short all the time like that, that's legs. You know, that's his legs. And so, like, yeah, so we knew it was going to happen quickly. It's just sad to see. You know what I mean? It will be sad to see him go out, you know, the triple-double king, you know what I mean, a MVP, go out how Melo has gone out.
Well, but it would be really interesting to see, like, how he feels about it. If this was his last season, did he go out on his own terms? Because Russ, to me, feels like somebody who very much would care about the principle of going out my way. And, like, I don't want to make this an exact comparison, because with the guy I'm about to name, it often felt kind of sad. But, like, Allen Iverson ultimately went out on his own terms. Like, he was not willing to adjust. And it cost him potential years of his career, but AI was clearly somebody that was like, I want to play my way. Like, I used to talk about this with Kobe all the time. Like, Kobe was somebody that played in a very specific way for very specific reasons. And if he wasn't able to do it in the setting that he wanted, as like the guy on a good team that everything is centered around, like, he wasn't interested.
I remember Kobe talking about when he would retire. And he said, like, I think he specifically said, I'm not going to be here being a 17 point per game guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not me. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather not play the game. I think at the end, because of the injury, it became that, yes. You know, yes. But it was due to the injury. You know what I mean? Like, prior to that, he was 29 a game, you know, it was crazy. But, so like, but Westbrook ain't Kobe. No. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And obviously, like, you know, the guy, he, what did he go for tonight on Wednesday? It was 18, 9 and 8 or something like that.
21, 8 and 9.
And yeah, 18, 8 and 9. Sorry, I had it backwards. You know, and he's, you know, like I said, leading odds for sixth man of the year. It's like averaging 14 and a half, about 7 rebounds, about 8 assists, all that, whatever it is. It's not that he can't be productive. It's just that he's still, even in this role, hard to slot in somewhere.
Well, he's
especially over the long term, because like you say, John, it's going to, so I don't want to throw dirt on the guy on a night, especially after he did some nice things in a really big game for the Lakers, but he is still a wildly fascinating basketball figure to talk about and project and think about both this year and going forward.
He's a good basketball player. You know what I'm saying? It's not about, is he good enough to be in a league? It's like, can what Russell Westbrook be himself and fit on another team? And that's the issue. And there's very few people like Kobe where, like, you know, you just let Kobe do Kobe for as long as he wants to do Kobe. Well, you know what I'm saying? There's very few people like that, you know?
It's funny, John, when you say, like, let him be himself. Russ has adjusted in terms of his role. Plays exactly the same as he did before.
Exactly the same.
It's not like he's
still a bully. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's not like he's made these massive adjustments on the court in terms of how he plays. He's just like, look, I will accept coming off the bench. Don't ask me to do anything else. That is where this ends.
One guy, though, who you do just say, you go be you until the wheels come off and you decide to walk away, is LeBron James. Didn't play in Wednesday's game because he is under the weather. Or is he, according to Andy's conspiracy theory? But
what was the conspiracy theory? I'm interested.
We'll ask the question as to whether or not this team deserves help next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by Built Bar. Okay, if you're looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and the calories, you got to try a Built Bar. We all just got through the holidays, and I know I could stand to eat a little healthier after the damage that I did to myself. And I'm sure a lot of you are in the same boat, but you don't want to compromise taste. And that's why you got to try Built Bars. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. It's perfect for a New Year's resolution. And as always, these bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. They come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, coconut almond. They still taste like a candy bar, but just 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar, but 17 grams of protein. The protein is what you want. And you don't need to wait around now to get a box. For years, we've been telling you about ordering Built Bars at Built.com, and that still works great, but you can also get them at your local Walmart in the pharmacy section. You don't actually need a prescription, though, or at Sam's Club. You can drop by either spot, pick up a box of different flavors like cookies and cream, brownie batter, and churro. Enjoy.
So, Andy, was LeBron sick today or no?
Well, I mean, first of all, he certainly felt well enough to be tweeting down the stretch, including after one of Schroeder's big baskets down the stretch. He tweeted out, Menance. He meant menace.
Oh, LeBron's
trying so hard to make the menace thing happen for Dennis. Like, this is his second go-around with this nickname, trying to make Dennis the Menace happen for Schroeder.
Oh man, that's an old man move.
Yes,
though.
His
game is still very solid, obviously.
Right.
Still a 30-point. He still can get, he's gonna drop 47 on his, but there's we're seeing some old man stuff from him. You know what I mean? That's one of them.
Yeah, if Larry Nance is paying attention, he sees that tweet and retweets it with me, comma, Nance. that's how I would handle this situation.
The conspiracy theory, I saw some people on, you know, NBA Twitter, Lakers Twitter, wondering if LeBron was sitting out this game on national television against the Heat. You know, there's always the storylines that come with that, and now they get dropped because LeBron isn't playing in this game to prove a point, you know, in terms of what the team is missing without him. You know, he's made it really clear over the last week or so that he wants more help. You know, he has not been shy about, you know, noting that, hey, I'm not going to play basketball for the sake of playing basketball, all that, you know, stuff like we were talking about earlier. There were some wondering whether or not this was LeBron sending a message to the organization. Unfortunately, the message doesn't work well enough.
Right. They won. They're better like, without him.
Kind of undercut him.
I should point out the Thunder lost on Wednesday, which means the Lakers have zoomed past Oklahoma City and now are in 12th. They are only a game behind Utah getting back into the play in Utah. They are the losers of 5 games in a row. Doesn't matter. Lauri Markkanen still playing well, which is all I care about because he's on my fantasy team. But you know, like it, you know, they're 17-21. They've got a winnable game against Atlanta, but still a difficult January coming up Friday. Still a difficult. Is this team worth trying? Let's say there is a trade out there potentially at least decent enough trade where you could bring in a little help, you sacrifice those picks or whatever. Is this team, John, do you think worth trying to save?
Yes, because like all you need to give up is 2 second round picks.
No, two first.
But I mean, it's like what where are we getting those picks at though? And how good have we been at developing talent? You know what I'm saying? Like we did get AD through the talent that we drafted, right? But yeah. Like for me, I'm wondering, the foundation is AD and LeBron. They're, you know, AD struggles being healthy. You know, Bron is, you know, but it's still AD. It's still AD and LeBron. When are you going to get this type of talent as a foundation? When's the next time you think you're going to get this level of talent as a foundation? If you're not trying to win now, when are you trying to win? And so, like, that's why I think it's worth trying. We're trading those two picks to have a competitive team that if they go on a run and AD stays healthy, you never know what can happen.
Okay, well, that actually, like, getting a little more specific than what Brian asked you, would you be willing to trade those picks to bring in talent that you might not have next season? Like the way I see it, they need to be, if they're going to trade both those picks, they essentially need to be building next year's team now. And
right.
And you hope that it works out well for this team, but you're basically looking towards next year. Like
it's your swing for this year that is also probably going to be your swing for next year too. If you go get Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, you damn well better re-sign Miles Turner in the offseason. Your team next year is with Buddy Hield and Miles Turner. Like, you got to be cool with that.
Doesn't sound so fun now, does it, John?
Right.
Not so fun at this point. You know, not so fun at this point. But I just, it's, and also, like, if you do sign them, what do you get from them this year? Like, how good is the team going to be? Like, chances are that they'll, you know, you might get a second round. You know what I'm saying?
I'd be thrilled with a second round. Are you kidding?
If they lose in the second round, it'd be, you know what I'm saying? It'd be, I mean, that's probably the most you could realistically, you know, expect. But it's just like, you know, it's more watchable than last year. But I'm just wondering, like, are those picks really as valuable as they're making them? I think that's
a great point. I don't think you can get as much for those two picks as Lakers fans like to think you can.
Here's the
or
problem.
Or Pelinka does. You know what I mean?
Well, here's the problem, though. And to be fair to Pelinka, even if he's delusional about their value around the league, or if Jeannie Buss, who is ultimately his boss, is delusional about their value across the league, because the Lakers they're so limited with assets that they control right now, you can argue those picks are more valuable to them in terms of trying to make a move than their actual value around the league, because they're working with so little. So I think that's what actually makes it legitimately complicated for them. Like, beyond the whole, do you trust them to make the right move? Do you trust them to build the roster? All that stuff. There is a legitimate possibility that those picks really are more valuable to this team than they might be around the league, and that makes this hard.
But yeah, that's a valid point. That's a valid point. I understand that. But something has to be done, and I think the options they've had, you know, could have made a big difference. And they're great players, solid players at the beginning. You know what I mean? And for me, just selfishly, man, it's just rough seeing Bron go out sad like this.
Okay. Do you worry about him asking for a trade this offseason?
I mean, he's been adamant about, like, I don't just play basketball to play basketball, bro. He might as well have, you know, I mean, it was blatantly obvious he's not happy.
No.
You know what I mean? He said it in the way that you have to say it, but it's like, yo, something needs to be done. I, you know, like this is not what I came to LA for. I don't know if he does, but I think it's for reasons that aren't just basketball reasons, because Bron's making a lot of money being in LA. You know what I mean?
And his family. So that's the thing. That's what I was going to say is I don't – all the stuff that brought him here had nothing to do with the Lakers. I mean, the Lakers were a nice perk and get to play for the – you know, wear the purple and gold, historic organization. LeBron is a basketball historian.
It's either that or the Clippers.
Right. But it's like he came here because he wanted to be in LA. His family likes it here. They're comfortable. And he is, you know, at 38 years old. He doesn't want to be bouncing from this team to that team to this team to that team while his family's in LA and like all this stuff.
I can tell you, Savannah's like, we're not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. You may go somewhere. I'm not going anywhere.
Maybe he bounces to a team that, you know, whatever year it is that Bronny is in the league. But this is the thing, the Lakers, like, if it, I could see this almost becoming a sort of game of chicken, where the Lakers could, in theory, call his bluff or, my God, even trade the guy. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure he really wants to go. I'm actually pretty sure he doesn't want to go, but he also doesn't want to play meaningless basketball. And those two things very well might be mutually exclusive. I will say this, though, to your point about rescuing the team, they are 17-21. That is a bad record. They started 2-10. So they're what, 15-11 since then? That's not awful.
No,
that's not that awful in the West too. The West is
especially considering they haven't had AD for a lot of it.
And you know, I think the most compelling point is the one you made, John. It's like, as flawed a combination as Anthony Davis and LeBron James is, it's where you're going to find better than that. If you trade them, you're trading them at the lowest possible value that they have.
Right.
And you still don't have a lot of stuff to rebuild. And so, you know, like access to stars and all that other stuff. I think your choices are try to improve it now or try to build with them again in the offseason. It just depends on which one you think about. Right now, at least, I'm leaning towards, as nerve-wracking as it is, as much as it sucks, this is still the best two-man combination you're going to find unless you're willing to blow it up and really dedicate yourself to 5 or 6 years of potentially missing the playoffs more.
That's exactly where I'm at.
It's going to be really interesting, too, like the idea of if, say, they told LeBron, like, look, we just don't feel like between now and the deadline, we can make a move that will really matter, particularly with the limited assets we have. We can only trade them once. We think we actually have a better opportunity to build a real team with cap space, using those picks as potential incentive if we want to trade into the space, whatever. We think our best shot comes this offseason if LeBron actually trusts them at that point. Like that, that will be really fascinating if he's just like, you know what? I hear what you're saying. I don't care.
And the thing is, they both would be right.
Yeah.
They both. Yeah. I understand that point you're making about it would be if he would just wait out a year. But also, Bron doesn't have a year to waste.
Nope.
You know what I mean? And also, it's to me how Pelinka's moved, especially since the Westbrook trade, it's almost like he's been petty.
Right,
like, and like, you know, Bron put his foot down to make that happen. You know, and I don't care what people have said or what, you know, even what Bron said. I think he said something that kind of like said he wasn't the person that pushed for that trade. Bro, that was a Bron trade. That was GM LeBron. It backfired, and Pelinka.
I think Pelinka needed just the tiniest nudge to make that, because that's a Rob Pelinka trade too. Like, he's getting a star. It's a bold move. Rob loves being bold. I think if you're LeBron, again, it goes back to the other question of let's say Andy's scenario, like, okay, you know what, you're right, this summertime, that is a better time for us to rebuild something meaningful. We'll have more options, we can do more things. Do you trust Rob Pelinka to put it together? You do not. That's the other thing is, I can't believe that LeBron believes in Pelinka.
Here's the thing, though. I'm not just talking, though. Does he trust Rob Pelinka to put it together? I mean, at this point, does he actually trust him? Because LeBron clearly had an expectation of you're going to do something this season. So does he actually trust him to do it this offseason?
Nothing happened. Like, I think Pat Bev was the – until Schroeder, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
Pat Bev was the biggest, like, offseason acquisition.
He was their big offseason get.
That is what you get for the team we saw last year. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is the big get. Like, it's embarrassing. It was an embarrassment, you know? So, and then, like, we did it. We saw last year. You know what I mean? We didn't need to experiment again or further the experiment with Westbrook. You know, like, we didn't need that. I don't know, man. I would completely understand if he just did not trust him at all.
All right. He is you can find him everywhere in the basketball universe. Look, he's got properties with his face on them. He's got the Jenkins and Jones podcast. He's got Out of Pocket. There he is, right there. You know, right there. Look at him. John Nichols, you know, is LeJethro Jenkins. Thanks so much, man, for giving us the time. We know you are putting a lot of content out there. You are a very busy guy, and we appreciate you making
and a new
time.
Father.
A yes,
new father, man, baby Sonya, she is 14 months now, man.
She's eating stuff off the floor.
Right, she started walking at 11 months, and you know, people were like, well, you know, watch out, you know, it really starts there, and it does. Like, you know, she's in everything, but. She is exponentially more fun. So,
yeah, they are. I think walking, it makes them easier to keep track of because, like, sure. Those last two or three months of crawling, they're like ninjas.
Right.
Walking kids, they're
walking. Right. Walking, and also, like, I can, like, put my little finger out and she'll grab it and we can walk together. You know what I mean? And the personality's showing, and she's like goofy and funny now. So it's like, bro, I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
She listens to the podcast. She's got notes.
No. I don't think her mom would appreciate that. My wife does it to her, but not when Somi's in the car.
Didn't like your takes on the last episode. Dad.
Yeah, maybe that's it. We'll blame it on that. We won't blame it on the
all right. There, check out Jenkins and Jones. Check out Out of Pocket. Locked On Lakers on YouTube as well. Something else you can check out. You can see all this kind of fun happen. We'll see what happens with the Lakers. We got one more game before they head out on the road. Atlanta on Friday. This was a big win on Wednesday. Stole one back the day from the group that they'd given away. Let's see if it leads to anything. And we'll see everybody tomorrow.